are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into today's episode of Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Go to BuiltBar.com. And use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off of your first box. And this week only, that $10 off will be on top of an additional $5 discount across any purchase on the website for their Memorial Day week sale. On today's episode, the Saints have the ability to show a lot of different looks on defense in 2020, and one player is a big key to that. We'll talk about Malcolm Jenkins and just a couple of ways that he can be used. Then we'll continue with our Saints all-time 53-man roster, getting to the trenches, the big uglies. We'll talk about the offensive line and the defensive line today before closing out with linebackers, secondary, and special teamers tomorrow. And then we'll wrap up today's show with your questions from Twitter. Are there still more free agents out there that the Saints can still target to improve their Super Bowl odds? We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. When the Saints added safety Malcolm Jenkins this offseason, they added a fantastic player and leader, but they also added an important defensive chess piece. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. Now, many of us assume that upon the signing of Malcolm Jenkins at the Saints, we're going to utilize him to completely replace Von Bell, who they ended up losing to the Cincinnati Bengals. They had an offer on the table for Von Bell, but needed to move on, so they ended up bringing in Malcolm Jenkins. And as I said, many of us expected that he would come in and plug immediately into that strong safety role, and many reasons for that. Von Bell had become a vocal leader, a fantastic run stopper, a great box player, and Malcolm Jenkins does a lot of the same thing while adding a little bit of improvement when it comes to the coverage game. So many of us expect that he'll show up in New Orleans and then be that tandem safety along with Marcus Williams, sort of be that quarterback for the secondary, one of the quarterbacks of the defense, playing up against the line of scrimmage or up near the line of scrimmage, much like that Von Bell strong safety role that was developed during his time in New Orleans, leader and sort of being a contributor and communicator on the field for everyone, not just the secondary. And on film in 2019, you could see it. There were so many different places where you could see him dictating the other players where they need to be, what they need to watch for, responding to what the offense was doing when they were checking out of plays, checking into plays where there was motion on the line of scrimmage. He was masterful in that element. And he also had some great plays across the line of scrimmage in 2019, as well as his usual deep safety and coverage work where he was covering out of the slot. But that slot coverage is one of the things that stands out to a lot of people, including Nick Underhill over at NewOrleans.football, and many of us as well who are curious about whether or not Malcolm Jenkins is going to end up playing a different role than maybe what was initially expected in this defense. So what if instead of Malcolm Jenkins playing that second safety role, not second safety role, but that strong safety role and being in that safety tandem with Marcus Williams, what if he played more of a third safety role? What comes with that? And what are sort of the benefits of doing something like that with a guy like Malcolm Jenkins? So first of all, you're going to see him take less snaps on the field, which would then honestly maximize his efficiency of the snaps that he does take and prolong his health as well. He would be helping out a lot in the slot in that case, which would mean that CJ Gardner-Johnson would take that Von Bell role. Now that means that CJ Gardner-Johnson would have to learn how to be the communicator that Bell was and that Jenkins has the ability to be. However, there are going to be times where both of them are going to be on the field at the same time, and either Jenkins takes that responsibility when he's on the field or they work together to get that job done. It allows Gardner-Johnson to line up against tight ends as a strong safety, which he did much better than Jenkins last season when it comes to catch percentage, target percentage, and yardage allowed. CJ Gardner-Johnson covered tight ends 59 times last year, and during those snaps, he was targeted only 7 times. He allowed 4 receptions, which is a 57.1% catch rate, but only allowed 64 yards, and he was only targeted 11.9% of the time. On the other hand, Malcolm Jenkins played 88 snaps against tight ends, was targeted 19 times, allowed 12 of those to be caught for 138 yards. So he allowed a 63.2% catch rate and was targeted 21.6 times. percent of the time. So Jenkins obviously has the larger sample size here, but in terms of percentage and times that he was targeted, CJ Gardner-Johnson fared much better there. Those tight end coverage numbers, by the way, are brought by Nick Underhill as well as Sports Info Solutions. So that tells you one story, but then when you look at these guys in the slot, Jenkins was actually targeted only once more than CJ Gardner-Johnson gave up receptions at that position. Jenkins was targeted 17 times out of his 160 slot snaps. Meanwhile, CJ Gardner-Johnson gave up 16 catches and 2 touchdowns on 200 slot snaps, and Jenkins gave up no touchdowns during his time. So obviously, there's bonuses to both of the ways that you could end up playing Malcolm Jenkins in this defense. If Jenkins were to play that third safety role, you can get back to your big nickel system, and I don't mean the three safety system that Seth Galina was talking about and then Brady Quinn's big mistake. I mean the actual big nickel system and three safeties on the field that the Saints used to play just a couple of years ago and played much more often than they have over these last couple of seasons. And you can get three safeties on the field on downs where the opposition might run or throw. So either way, you can be prepared. Then you have two great communicators in the secondary, each of them playing to their own strengths. Now, if he's the other half of the safety tandem, Malcolm Jenkins, then you get a proven vet with NFL experience at a very important position and plenty of ability left to do what needs to be done. So this can also be a game-by-game matchup type situation based upon what the opposing teams might do. Against teams like Tampa Bay and Kansas City, San Francisco, the Saints might want to maybe lean a little bit more towards CJ Gardner-Johnson being matched up with tight ends, so they roll with Jenkins as the third safety. But against teams like Carolina, Chicago, and Green Bay, maybe they like what Jenkins provides as a safety better. Either way, the Saints have the personnel now, given any situation, to really give teams something new to look at throughout the season with rotations and schemes that they can create with their defensive line, their secondary now, and hopefully with their linebackers as well. We know the Saints love their schemes, they love their versatility, and one of the things that's most important about making this team, and Coach Payton has said it over and over again, is being quote-unquote multiple. And being multiple means being able to serve several different roles and sort of have that position and scheme versatility, which of course Malcolm Jenkins does after all of his years in the NFL playing at Super Bowl winning levels. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to continue our all-time Saints roster, 53-man roster. So we'll jump to offensive line, defensive line, get in with those big uglies in the trenches for a little bit, and then we'll take your questions from Twitter to wrap up the show. We got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Built Bar, and right now they have a Memorial Day sale going on, so if you're purchasing another box, purchasing your first box, doesn't matter, you're going to get $5 off at checkout no matter what. But on top of that, if it is your first box, for whatever reason, even though I've been telling y'all these are the best protein bars on the market, if this is still somehow your first box of Built Bars, use that promo code, you're going to get $10 off of your first box on top of the $5 that you're already going to save. Save no matter what. So you're going to get $15 off of your first box of Built Bars at BuiltBar.com using the promo code Locked On during this week for their Memorial Day week sale. I keep telling y'all these are the best protein bars on the market. If you like protein bars, stop eating those pieces of chalk that you've been eating and instead come on over to the paradise of protein bars over here with all these Built Bars. That's BuiltBar.com, promo code Locked On, and save up to $15 this week on your first box of Built Bars. All right, Houdat Nation. So we are now moving ahead through our, or continuing rather, through our all-time New Orleans Saints 53-man roster. And, you know, I got one question yesterday that I will take a moment to address. Somebody asked me why I didn't have Lance Moore on the list. And the only reason why I didn't have Lance Moore on there is because I felt really comfortable with Marcus Colston, Joe Horn, Danny Abramowitz, and Eric Martin, and I needed a kick returner somewhere in this roster. Because remember, I'm not just picking the best players, I'm building a roster here. So I had Marcus Colston, who can play in the slot and outside. I had Joe Horn on that list so that you have somebody that can play literally anywhere as well and still be effective. And then I needed a kick returner and a punt returner. And so Michael Lewis was the obvious choice there. So Michael Lewis gets that fifth spot as opposed to Lance Moore. It's no disrespect to Lance Moore. No disrespect to anybody that likes Lance Moore. Clearly, I love Lance Moore. I know what he's done. I love the guy. However, when you're building a roster, it's one thing as opposed to just putting together a best of list, right? So that's one of the reasons why I ended up going with Michael Lewis instead of Lance Moore. So you're going to see some decisions like that. It's where I'm going to make decisions based upon building a roster as opposed to just what would be a little bit more simple, which would be putting together that best of list, because clearly Lance Moore would make that list. There's no question about that. So all right, let's go ahead and jump to the trenches here. And good question. Thank you very much much for pointing that out. And again, like, I love hearing from you guys. Let me know what you would do differently. Let me know who you would change, who you would like to see listed, all of that. All right, so we'll start off with the offensive line here. I'm basically going to go left tackle to right tackle here in terms of starters, and then I'm going to jump into depth. And left tackle's pretty obvious. This is Willie Roof all the way with the Saints, because he also went to Kansas City, but with the Saints only, he had two-time first team All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowler. No way Willie Roaf is not my starting left tackle when it comes to an all-time 53-man roster for the Saints. Then over to his right at left guard, Carl Nix. Again, easy one, 2-time Pro Bowler, first team All-Pro in 2011, played four straight seasons without missing a game. Gotta love that. Speaking of playing a bunch of seasons without missing a game, Max Unger is actually who I have starting at my center, and he's probably one of the most recent starters that I'm going to have on this selection, maybe until we get to defensive line, but he's one of my more recent guys. Played basically four straight seasons in New Orleans, missed only one game during that time. Absolute Iron Man at center, and one of the most intelligent players we've seen at the position in the franchise. Just an incredible player. And the Saints were willing to give up a guy that was named earlier on the all-time list at Jimmy Graham, who was at tight end. They were willing to give him up in order to bring Max Unger to New Orleans. Did it just in time before the great decline of Jimmy Graham. But Max Unger for me, starting center. Continuing on at right guard, I have Jarry Evans. He appeared in a nice 169 games out of a possible 176 for New Orleans. So incredibly durable and incredibly reliable. Four straight Pro Bowls and first team All Pros. And he hit the Pro Bowl again in 2014. Then at right tackle, because I can't choose Ryan Ramczyk here, remember the stipulation, no players that have been added or signed with the team for the first time within the last 5 years. If they're rejoining the team, it's fine. But if they were added, so I can't pick Ryan Ramczyk here, who I think he or Zach Strief were pretty clear to decisions over at right tackle, but I'm going to go with Stan Brock. 13 seasons with New Orleans protecting Bobby Hebert and did a very, very good job at it. I like Stan Brock a lot, actually, so I was glad to put him on this list. Then let's go to the backups here. I took one tackle, one center, and then one sort of swing guy, and it kind of came down to either Zach Strief or Teron Armstead. I'm going to go with Teron Armstead. Best tackle in the NFL today when he's healthy, or one of the best tackles in the NFL today when he's healthy. Two straight Pro Bowls in these last 2 years. I can put him on because he came more than 5 years ago to New Orleans, so I can actually have him on here. John Hill, 10 years with New Orleans at center, made the New Orleans Saints 50th anniversary list at the position as well. And then I'm going to close it out with Jermon Bushrod because I wanted somebody that could play inside and out. Remember, we've got Sean Payton as our coach here, so we're going to take people that could be multiple, right? We just talked about that. So I go Jermon Bushrod, 2-time Pro Bowler in 2011 and 2012. We need that swing offensive lineman. Bushrod can do that for you. He returned to the team in 2018 after 3 seasons away to Chicago and then 2 in Miami. But remember, because he joined the Saints before 5 years ago, right? Before he came back, went away and then came back, I can put him on this list. So I'm going to go Jermon Bushrod. I'd love to get Zach Strief in here too. And probably if I didn't really need to use a piece on the secondary or something like that, I would make room for Zach Strief to make this roster. That's for certain. But again, roster building, not best of. So this is where we are. All right. Defensive line. I've got 9 for you here. That's going to get us up to 33 so far, if you're keeping count. So you got Cam Jordan. I can add him. He came into the league more than 5 years ago. He's been outstanding ever since he's been in the league and ever since he's been a New Orleans Saint. His goal is to eventually become the sack leader for New Orleans and be a legacy guy and be a guy that only has ever played his entire career in New Orleans. And it looks like that's going to be the case. He's second in franchise history in sacks right now. He's behind Ricky Jackson, who's got 115 sacks. Right now he's got 87, but he's also got 47 passes defended. He crowned the triple double in 2017. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler and a 1-time first team All Pro. Cam Jordan, absolutely deserving to be the first name to me on this list. Doing this the same thing, going from, you know, end, tackle, end, and then we'll talk about both ends, both tackles, and then we'll go into our depth here. So our other end is Wayne Martin, 82 and a half sacks, which includes 4 straight years of double digit sacks between 94 to 97. He is 3rd in the franchise record book in sacks, right behind Cam Jordan, of course. So I've got to go Wayne Martin here, one of the best pass rushers that this team has seen. All right, jumping to our starting defensive tackles, I'm going to go Leroy Glover. Surprise, surprise. Most sacks in franchise history of all the interior guys with 50 sacks. There's guys on the edge, and there are linebackers, of course, that are well above him. But when it comes to the interior guys, he leads franchise history in sacks with 50. He's also got 218 tackles, which is pretty impressive for a defensive interior guy, and that's something to remember. 218 tackles is really, really good for a guy that lines up in the middle. Up next, and next to him, I'm more than happy to put a name that maybe not a lot of Saints fans know, but Derlin Moore. I'm more than happy to put him here because Derlin Moore was an absolute wrecking ball in the middle. He played from 1973 to 1985 with the Saints, and then in 86 he played with the Jets. That's what it was. But they didn't keep the stats that you're used to talking about here. They didn't keep tackles for a loss. They didn't keep sacks. They didn't keep tackles. They didn't keep those stats at all during the time that he played. And so because of that, I don't have a ton to convince you with, but I can tell you that when they started tracking sacks in his 1982, 83, and 84 seasons, that he racked up 12 sacks during that time, which again is great for a guy on the interior. So don't have numbers for his entire career just simply because they weren't tracked, but the time where they were tracking them, he did a fantastic job, and he was multiple as well. He could play all along the line of scrimmage, and he played all along the line of scrimmage throughout his career and many different places along the line of scrimmage, I should say. And of course, that would be valuable. All right, so let's jump through, and we're going to kind of fly through depth here because I know I'm going long here. But Will Smith, obvious, rest in peace, fifth all time in sacks with 67.5. That's an easy choice for me. Cornerstone for this Saints franchise and organization. Joe Johnson, two-time Pro Bowler, comeback player of the year, 50.5 sacks, 13 fumbles for us. Just a force himself. Charles Grant, that one was easy. 47 sacks, top 10 in the franchise. He's got fewer sacks than Frank Warren, but a lot more active in the run game and with tackles as well. So I needed to put him on that list. This is somebody that maybe a lot of Saints fans didn't really learn about until the Rebirth re-air, but Brian Young, happy to put him here. 140 tackles from the interior in the short time that he played with New Orleans. That's fantastic. And I think it's third, if I remember correctly, in franchise history amongst defensive tackles. And then Jim Wilkes, 12th round draft pick. Yes, it wasn't always seven rounds. 12th round draft pick in 1981, played 13 seasons for the Saints, played many of those at defensive end, but also moved to nose tackle. So another guy along with Derlin Moore that could be multiple on a Saints defense that, let's just say, Dennis Allen was a part of. I don't think we would pick Dennis Allen as our all-time defensive coordinator, with some of the great defensive coordinators have been part of this team. But if you wanted somebody to move around, you've got Jim Wilkes, you've got Brian Young, and you have Derlin Moore. So, all right, y'all, that's going to do it for right now. That's the big uglies, right? That's the trenches. Tomorrow, we'll wrap up with linebackers, secondary, and special teamers. As always, hit me up, let me know what you think and who's missing, who should be included, who shouldn't be included, things like that. Feel free to let me know because I'm having a lot of fun with this and hope that y'all are as well. Coming up next, we're going to get to your questions from Twitter. We'll talk about some potential free agents the Saints could still pursue to improve their Super Bowl odds. We got that coming up for you next, as well as all the other questions here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, y'all, we're going to wrap up today's show with your questions from Twitter with our Twitter Tuesday segment. Once more, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Remember, you can get $10 off by using the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. And they've also got a $5 off sale already happening throughout this week, so you can get up to $15 off if it's your first box. All right, so let's jump into these questions. Actually, just before we jump into the questions, big news. New York and New Jersey both allowing NFL facilities and professional sports facilities to open up for training camp. That's a big step forward toward the return of football, so just continue to keep you updated there. But not a ton to talk about. We kind of knew that that was going to be coming after the conversation we had before about Texas and California. We'll see what they do next, as their timelines are within 5 days now. But good news, even at this point, with New Jersey and New York ready for their players to return to training camp. So, of course, that affects the Bills in New York and then the Giants and Jets in New Jersey, who actually practice in New Jersey, even though they're New York teams. All right, so let's jump into our questions from Twitter. We'll start off with my team, my voice, the podcast network, which is my good friend Rick Sincere over there at MTMV Sports. He asked, who are three guys that the Saints could still sign or trade for that would make headlines and give them a greater chance to get to the Super Bowl? Well, Jamal Adams is a pretty obvious answer in terms of trading for somebody. I don't think that they'll do it, but he would obviously make headlines and clearly improve their ability to get to the Super Bowl. But I'll give you three guys that I think could be good additions for the Saints through free agency. Everson Griffin is an obvious one. He's 100% a guy that I would love to see come in as a as one of the three edge rushers, not the third edge rusher, but one of the three edge rushers that they could rotate. It would pretty much be a rotation between he and Marcus Davenport. Taylor Gabriel, I think as a, yes, he's a smaller wide receiver than the Saints usually like to draft, but in free agency, clearly Tommy Lee Lewis, they'll go out there and they'll sign these guys that are a little bit smaller. Taylor Gabriel, I think, is somebody that gives him a legitimate deep threat, somebody that could stretch the field. And Drew Brees still top 10 in the NFL with passes over 19 yards through air yards. So to say that the deep ball is completely gone would be not the best assessment. However, he just doesn't rely on it, I think, is the right way to look at it. Taylor Gabriel gives you a reason to continue that trend. When it comes to defense, I'll jump over or back to defense. Logan Ryan, I think, is still somebody. I know he's more of a slot guy, but hey, look, if at this point, if you just want to add to that cornerback depth, add to the cornerback depth. It's that simple. Drake Kirkpatrick could be somebody on the outside as well, but that's what I'm looking for there. So those are three guys that I think the Saints could add. Let me know if you have others. Joshua Jones at Saint JMJ. How do you feel about Madden simulation giving us 8-6 at the moment? Couldn't care less, Josh. Couldn't care less. And that's not about you. It's about Madden. Couldn't care less about Madden. Discounted that immediately when I saw the 17-0 shutout to open up the season against Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home in the New Orleans Saints. I don't know what to call it anymore. I guess it's still the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, but in the Louisiana Superdome is what I'm calling it. I'm going back to Louisiana Superdome until it gets a new name, because forget Mercedes-Benz. So at that point, which would be the first shutout since 2002 for the team, the longest running in terms of time, in terms of dates, a streak without being shut out, you're going to end it week one at home against David? No, you're not. That's stupid. Up next, I'll jump to Kev at Cordones 0921, which maybe September 21st is your birthday. If so, happy birthday come September 21st. Will Peyton finally unleash the beast Emmanuel Butler, or do you think that he'll continue to marinate him another year? I think that it really comes down to how Emmanuel Butler performs. Remember, he performed great at the beginning of training camp, then he got injured, then he kind of fell off from there, didn't show up in the preseason when he got his opportunity under the lights. So it really kind of comes down to Emmanuel Butler performing, then it comes down to Sean Payton being willing to allow him to perform, if that makes sense. So I look for Emmanuel Butler to be somebody that's going to be fighting for a spot on the roster this season. I don't know if he'll get it, but he's somebody that I'll be watching for certain. Uber Eric at Immaculate 2 asks, what's the percentage of touches for the running back group this season? So I think it depends on whether or not Ty Montgomery makes the roster, which again, I hope he does. But if Ty Montgomery makes the roster, I could see it being a little bit around that 60-30-10 split, maybe even 60-20-20 split. I think Alvin Kamara still gets the bulk of carries, but some percentage of Kamara's carries go to Ty Montgomery, I would think, because I think that Sean Payton would get a little bit more into a three running back system as opposed to just having a third running back, if that makes sense. If Ty Montgomery doesn't make it, then I think that it's 70-30 between Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray, though I'd like to see it more balanced. I just don't believe that it will be right away. Up next, we got Dale at Lil Dice 504, who asked, do you think that the offense goes more run heavy to extend Breeze's effectiveness for later in the season/the playoffs? Yes, I hope so. That's what I wrote down. I hope so, because I do think that that's the case. I just talked about Alvin Kamara getting 70% of the carries and then Latavius Murray getting 30 if Ty Montgomery doesn't sign. However, I still believe that that's still a greater volume of carries, because I do want the Saints to lean a little bit more on the run. And if Sean Payton's going to go so far as to rest Drew Brees during camp and then rest Drew Brees during practices, which I also think is just a great way for him to get a look at Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, then a good way to do that is to also give him a breather every now and then during the games. I don't mean sit him down and play a different quarterback. I just mean lean on your run game a little bit when it's working, Sean. Craig Wright up next at Cali Cajun 67. Who's a center week one? Cesar Ruiz. That was easy. Cesar Ruiz is going to be the guy 100% at center, in my opinion. I'm going to be watching if you're wrong, but I 100% believe that. He started a couple of games at right guard his first season, his freshman year with Michigan, and was not good. Was not good at all. He was great once they moved him to center, but he was not good at right guard. So leave the guy at center as far as I'm concerned. And then you move Eric McCoy to right guard, who proved to be very good at right guard during his time in college. And then finally, our last question here comes from Saints Elite at Saints_Elite on Twitter. Should the Saints target Griffin, meaning Everson Griffin? Yes, 100%, 150%, 200%, 250%. They should absolutely be targeting Everson Griffin. Will they? I don't know. But they should 100% be targeting Everson Griffin. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode. Make sure you come back tomorrow. We'll continue through with any news and notes. Remember, the league kind of had a day off yesterday with Memorial Day, so we didn't get any news about the corresponding move that goes along with the Anthony Chiccolo signing. So there should be somebody getting released at some point. If that were to come out by tomorrow, then we'll talk about it. Or when it does, we'll talk about it. Other than that, we'll continue on with our all-time 53-man roster here for the Saints and continue to go through some of the top position groups that the Saints will face, including secondary, linebackers, and running back committees as opposed to individual running backs. And then, of course, we also still have our 90-man roster breakdown to go through as well. So lots going on here with Locked On Saints, and I appreciate all of you for being here. Now that you're done here, make sure you tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Football. Check in with Vinny Iyer and get ready because the football season's coming, so you need to be ready for fantasy football. If you've been slacking because you didn't think that the season was going to happen, now's the time to get through it, and the best way to do it is with Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny Iyer has your back. All right, y'all, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. If you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. Trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.